Vov de Chanukah, Lamed Kislev, 26th of December, Rabbi David Kahn, Ishem Mishim Chitzon.
Since it's the Yontif of, or the celebration of, Hakoros HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so certainly Hakoros HaTov to the organizers of this Yarchi Kala, who have put together these days of learning, is something that certainly our obligation, particularly as you've heard no doubt, and as I've just heard as I came in, that Chanukah is certainly the time, the celebration is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us from the Avonim, wiping out our total keeping of the Torah mitzvahs, our ability to teach our children, to be able to keep the Mesoras going. Certainly this is the way, donuts and latkes aside, certainly this is the way to celebrate Chanukah, is to have more learning than we are, and this has been provided for us, a big schus for Klal Yisrael, a big schus for Northwest London, that we have this wonderful, wonderful learning set up and organized, a big yishu koyach. Now, I imagine that somebody may have talked about Chanukah. This is now the eighth, your eighth shiur, four yesterday, that I found out they talked about Chanukah. I've heard this one now, this was about Chanukah. I imagine the first two were about Chanukah too, and now this is the eighth shiur. I'm going to start off about Chanukah, but the focus of this is not going to be Chanukah. The focus is going to be Torah. It's going to be something very interesting, and I'd like your input. So, we'll start off with the Gemara in Bava Kamma. This Gemara in Bava Kamma is about Chanukah. Somewhat. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Toshma, it's a Gemara in Shabbos as well, in the Gemara about Chanukah. The Gemara says the following. Toshma, gomol ton pishton. And a camel, which is laden with flax, it's walking in the street, so it's got lots of flax on it, and the flax protrudes into the shop, and it lit the flax. The flax became lit. The gomol lit the flax, and the neiroi shelchenveni, with the light of the candle of the shopkeeper, the hidlek sabiro, and then this flax that was now a blaze that went and set a house afire. Then says the Gemara, Bal gomol chayev, the owner of the gomol is chayev, but he niachenveni ner mi bachutz. But if the shop owner left his candle outside, then the shopkeeper was the one who was poshea, and therefore he is responsible for the damage. Rabbi Huda Omer, b'ner Chanukah, if it is a ner Chanukah, since he's got rishus to put it there, potter is potter. By the way, interestingly enough, Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin this way. Shulchan Aruch paskins that the chenveni is always chayiv. That's not really what we're talking about. But have a look at Siman Tov Yud Ches. Interesting, Shulchan Aruch paskin like the Rambam, the Rif. It's not clear how the Rif paskins, because the Rif brings this Gemara in brackets, and the Shach says it's a Hagor, it's not the Rif. Although the Rosh, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Ran, and Rabbeinu Yoino all paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and they say the continuation of the Gemara is busy with the din of Rabbi Yehuda. Why is he potter? Nonetheless, there seems to be a Rambam's paskin, there's a Machlokas. We paskin like the Tanakama, the Chevroni is always Chayev. But really, what I want to discuss is Ishoy Mishum Chitzov. That's what I wanted to ask. Why? Because this concept of Eish, that I'm chayev for my Eish, I light a bonfire in my own garden, and if a Ruach Mitzuya is going to take it away off into my neighbor's garden and do damage there, it is my action. I'm chayev for the damage that was done several hours later, several hundred meters away, if it was reasonable to expect that this fire would get out of hand, I should have taken care. But not just fire. There's a Gemara, famous Gemara that everyone knows, in Bava Kamma, Daf Gimel on the base, Avnoi Sakinoi Umasoi, somebody who leaves a stone, Sakinoi, he leaves a knife, Umasoi, it doesn't make a difference whether it's his or it isn't his, but he leaves a parcel, whatever it is, al roshag sheinicham b'roshag b'rosh gagoy, he leaves it on the roof where a ruach matsuya, v'naflu beruach metzuya v'iziku, and they caused damage in flight. Then the Gemara says, "I b'hadid ozlu komazki hainu esh." You're going to be chayav for esh for leaving this item in a place that a ruach metzuya would take it. So, for example, if you know that your roof is faulty and there are slates coming off, or it's a building site and the building materials haven't been secured, and you leave it like that, then you're going to be chayav for the damage that these slates do. Esh if they do damage in flight, and boil if they've already landed. That's already a Gemara that all of us know. Here's an interesting question, la'alocha l'maisa, that happens, and I'll say, le'oleinu v'le'olechem. But this was the story. Somebody was travelling from London to Manchester, and somebody else asked them, would you give me a lift? Are you going up to Manchester? Yes, you're going up for Shabbos to Manchester, fantastic. Along, the passenger comes, and he's got a suitcase. The boot is full. The driver says, no problem at all, I've got a roof rack. By all means, put your suitcase on the roof rack. If you open the boot, you'll find there's some ropes there. Tie your suitcase up. Make sure it's tied securely. And fine. All that's done. A few minutes go by. The suitcase is tied onto the roof rack. And the passenger gets inside. Off they drive down the M1, and suddenly there's a large thump. The large thump, the driver looks behind him, and looks in his mirror, and there's this suitcase, yes, hits the car behind. Yes? Now, question is, who's chayev? Who's chayev to pay? This is Eish. The chiyuv is Eish, it's Hiniach Masoy al Rosh HaGag, and it was a ruach metzuya, he didn't tie the string, the rope, the suitcase wasn't tied down properly. Now the question is, who's chayev? Who's chayev to pay? Is it the driver? Because he's driving, it's his koyach, he put his foot down on the accelerator. Or is it the person who's put his suitcase and hasn't tied it down well? Who's going to be chayev in such a case? Yes. No? Any suggestions? Who do you think is chayev?
The suitcase man.
The suitcase man. Because he didn't tie down properly. Yeah. Why? Just because he was a guest? Just because he was doing the favour? Sorry?
He did something wrong.
The driver should have checked it.
Interesting. What? Any solicitors here? What do you think?
You might argue it was actually the driver, because it's more like the chinzel, maybe, in a sense. That the flame outside, in a way, it's like...
Well, the flame outside is his fire. That's really his fire. And his fire is then attached to the pishton. And then after that, everything... Then the gomol is the ruach mitzuyah. That's why the chenven is chayev. But that wouldn't necessarily be so relevant over here. Yeah?
It depends if the driver was driving reasonably. He was, like, swerving around.
No, he was driving reasonable. Reasonable driving, but unreasonable tying down of the suitcase. The suitcase wasn't tied down well. That's why it came off.
The driver had no right to drive. He didn't check that the case was...
So here we have a machlokes already, yes? We have a machlokes between over here. Is it the person who didn't tie the suitcase down? Or you say the reason is, or is it because the driver drove? Who asked the driver... Who asked the driver to drive unless you're sure that bits aren't going to come off your car? Yes? Happened to be a suitcase. Whose responsibility is it? So, let me read out. First of all, there's a Mishnah in Baba Kama. Everyone knows this Mishnah as well. It says the Mishnah, the Chovav Medalef, the Mishnah says, Odom Muad Loilom. Bein B'Shoigig, Bein B'Mezid. Bein Er, Bein Yoshin, whether he's awake, whether he's asleep. Suma, good. The rest we don't need. So here the Mishnah says categorically, Odom Muad Loilom. Someone might turn around and say, well, why is it the driver's fault? He asked him to tie it down properly, and off he went. Surely, he didn't have to think that the suitcase wasn't tied down properly. He gave it to a responsible person to rope, there's the roof rack, sort it out. Says the Gemara, Mino Animila, how do we know? Oma Chizkia, V'chein Tomet Debei Chizkia, Oma Kro, Petza Tachas Potza, L'chayvoy Ala Shoigi Kemezid V'ala Oynes Kerotzi. Says the Gemara further, Oma Rabbo, Hoiso Eve Munachas Loi B'cheikoi. This person went to sleep. Somebody put a rock on his chest. V'loi hikibo, he didn't realize. V'omad, yes, time to get up. Yes, the alarm clock went. He jumped out. He jumped up. Yes, having miskavu kari, off he was going to shul. He jumped up as soon as they heard the alarm clock and the noflo, and this stone fell on top of a collection of crystal vases. Yes, the din is le'inyan nizokin chayev. Says the Gemara is chayev. Odo mu'ud leilom. Who did it? You did it. He put the stone there. So what? So says the Gemara. So therefore, according to the Gemara, odo mu'ud leilom. Who did the damage? The person who drove. Says Tosfos though. Va'afar gavdaleil marbinon onus karotzin, but odom hamazik mipetz natachas potza. Says the Gemara, says Tosfos, Oines gomo loy robi rachmona. You have to know there's an oines, something which was unavoidable, there was something that was completely unavoidable. He says, Tahor be Yushalmi, because there's a famous Yushalmi. And again, I'm sure you'll all know this Yushalmi, that the following: somebody went to sleep, and somebody went to sleep next to him. Yes, maybe a youth hostel. Somebody went to sleep next to him. And when the first fellow went to sleep, there was nobody there. In his sleep, he rolls over and gives a punch and damages the person next to him. Or some delicate items put next to him. And he rolls over and smashes them. So the Yushalmi there says that he's potter. The Yushalmi poite oisei sheyoshein rishon, the first one who went to sleep first, in his iklasheni, if he damaged the second one, habo etzla, who came to sleep after the first one was asleep, that's the Gemara. So therefore Tosfos says, you see, that an onus gomor is potter. So Tosfos says, if there's absolutely no reason that you had to suspect that this suitcase wasn't tied down properly, we can probably infer and say, it's not my fault, I gave it to somebody to tie it down, he didn't tie it down, if so, I, the car driver, I'm the Ruach Matsuyo, he put the suitcase up, and therefore it's his Eish, his suitcase is the Eish, and therefore he should be Chayev. So he says, by the way, that's certainly the case, La Halacha, that would be the case, if somebody puts a sefer on top of your car, and got involved in talking to somebody, got inside the car, you never knew that anything was ever put on top of your roof. In such a case, you are the Ruach Matsuya, and the Sefer is the Eish, and therefore if the Sefer does the damage, that's certainly. But in this case, I, the driver, should we say, I know that there's a suitcase up there. It's just that I've relied on you tying it down. But Tosfos says, L'chayra from Tosfos, see that's known as Gomel. The Nemuki Yosef, however, says the following. Bein Yoshein, he says, Mishum Shoigi Gitzrich, let's not get involved in that. But he says, says Tosfos, Komashmon da filu yoshei nami, miu, aminon bi Yushalmi, the Mekiosa brings the same Yushalmi, hani mila di yoshein chayev, why is the person who is sleeping chayev? The Mishnah says, bein er ben yoshein, how can somebody who's sleeping ever be, how can it be demanded of him that he is odom mu'ud lo'ilom, he's got to be, what can he do, he's asleep. Says the Ran, Hayu de Yoshein Yoshan Yoshein Loi Eitzel Kalim. It's only when he went to sleep and there were delicate utensils next to him. Oi Beis Bnei Odom, or there was somebody sleeping next to him when he went to sleep, or at least lying next to him when he went to sleep. He should have been careful to go to sleep in such a way that he knew he wouldn't do any damage. Shahayu Shneim Yoshenim Vihiziku Zer Zer. Avolim ze yoshan. If the first one slept already, uvo chaveiro v'yoshan etzloi, and the second one came, oishi niach kelim etzloi, or once he was already asleep, the second one put these delicate utensils next to him, v'shobron, and he broke them in his sleep. Says the Ram, potter, why? Demi shehinichom etzloi, hu hapishea. Now the Mukius doesn't say, because Onis Gomor, he is potter. The Nemuki Yosef takes the Mishnah at face value. That Bein Be'onis Bein Be'rotzen. You Adam Mu'ad Le'olam. Le'olam means always, no exceptions. So the Nemuki Yosef learns. So why, how does he reconcile the din of the Mishnah with Yushalmi? Or better, how does the Yushalmi reconcile itself with the Mishnah? Says the Nemuki Yosef, because the second person who put the Kalim there, He is the mazik. He is the one who's pshia. It doesn't just mean pshia. He is the mazik. There's an asivus, by the way, which says, and this is how we paskin la locha. Imagine if your cleaner, yes, does a thorough job before Pesach in order to clean out your dining room and everything else. She wants to do an absolute hoover and a shampoo and everything else. She takes your dining room furniture and puts it outside in the front of the house. Beautiful new table and expensive chairs, puts it all the way outside the house, a sunny day, fantastic, and she puts it outside. She happens to put it near the bins. And she's getting on, and she's hoovering, and she's shampooing, and it's Wednesday morning, and it's dustbin day. Along come the dustbin men, and they say, rather a lot today, and they take the lot, and it's gone. This cleaner happens to be Jewish, and now there's a din Torah. Who's chayev? The cleaner said, I'm terribly sorry, but I didn't take them away. The dustbin men. Let's say it happens in Eretz Israel, so you call the dustbin men to a din Torah. They took it and they crunched up your beautiful new dining room furniture into this recycling system. So now, who's chayev? Who's chayev? So the nesiva says that it's the cleaner who's chayev. Yes, she tried to take you to the cleaners, but she didn't. She is going to be chayev. Why is she chayev? Says in the Sivus, if you put something in a place that it becomes worthless, it's definitely going to be damaged. That is reducing the value of the item. You're going to be chayev. So in the Sivus says, that's the way we paskin. So here, if I put kalim next to you when you're asleep, I damage the kalim. I put the kalim in a place where they're bound to be broken. That's the Nemuk Yosef. But there's no patur of Oynis Gomel, Nelmuk Yosef says. So in our case, it will transpire the case of who's chayev in this situation, the driver or the owner of the suitcase. And it doesn't have to be the owner of the suitcase, by the way. It could be somebody else's suitcase, but the one who tied it down and didn't tie it down properly. Who's going to be chayev is a machlokas Tosfos and Nelmuk Yosef. According to Tosfos, the driver's potter because it's an Oynis Gomel. According to Nelmuk Yosef, there's no such thing as Oynis Gomel. It's only because the second one puts his item in a place where it's going to be damaged, and therefore he's the mazik. Yeah, but he's the mazik, meaning that you don't have to pay him for his suitcase. But whose eish is it? Your eish. It's your eish. You did the damage. You put your foot down on the accelerator. That is you. You caused the case to travel at 70 miles an hour, and the case, as a result, the case did the damage. And therefore, according to the Mekki Yosef, you'll be chayav. Sorry?
Put it down my foot on the accelerator is not a masa esh. It's a normal thing.
It's koyach. It's koyach.
But it's not esh.
No, it's you.
He did something he shouldn't have done, and he actually caused, he did it in such a manner,
right,
that he caused the suitcase to fall off. That is the esh. Not my master accelerator.
You flung the suitcase. Let's put it like that. You threw the suitcase at 70 miles an hour down the M1.
Perfectly legal to drive 70 miles an hour.
Absolutely. No problem at all. But what's not mutter is to throw the suitcase back.
That's him.
At 65 miles an hour. That's forbidden.
Suitcase.
Sorry?
It's the Bala suitcase. My master is not suitcase. I'm not getting paid for a suitcase.
Right.
Throwing suitcase.
According to the Mekki Yosef, but according to the Mekki Yosef, it'll be he puts his suitcase on your stationary car. At the time, the car was stationary. It's not just a wind, you know. Where there's a wind, there's nobody else there. Here, a wind wouldn't have done anything to the suitcase. Who did something to the suitcase? Who gave the suitcase velocity? It was you, because you stepped, you put your foot down on the accelerator, you sped through the case and gave it a speed of 70 miles an hour, and at that point, it flew off. So it's you. So according to the Mekki Yosef, that's how Lechaira, that's how it would be, yeah.
I think if you're driving the car, you must realise that if anything dodgy does happen, it's going to be down to you to sort it out, insurance-wise, or the other driver.
That's why I said, does anybody think? I think, I'm not an expert in, I'm not in any way, but I think, but
no,
we're
but
here, we just,
check.
Yeah, we're here to discuss what the Torah would say about it, but you're absolutely right.
Well, you should check it as well, because you know it's going to be down to you in the end, so you get out of the car and check if it's been tied up properly.
You mean you want to say, if the law is that you're going to be responsible, therefore the person who didn't tie the suitcase adequately had the right, are you suggesting,
not to worry,
because he knew that you would be liable, and therefore, basically, it's down to you as far as the halacha is concerned as well, because you shouldn't have relied on him. That's a bit harsh. It's a bit harsh, don't you think? In other words, you may be right as far as the law is concerned, but this isn't an area that I've studied. But I think you are right that the law is that if you drive, you have to make sure your vehicle doesn't shed anything that it has, whether it's mirrors, bumpers, suitcases, whatever it might be. You must make sure your vehicle doesn't shed whatever it is from it, and therefore the law would be that way. But I don't think it would affect the halacha. I don't think it would affect the halacha. In other words, I don't think therefore the responsibility and din is taken away from. Now the question is, again, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? So if you have a look at, I'll read out for you, if we have a look at Shulchan Aruch here in Simon Tov Chof Aleph, it says like this, talking about somebody who goes to sleep. What about this very case? The person who's sleeping is chayev. When they both went to sleep together, and one person rolled over the other person and caused him bodily harm, or tore his garments. If one was sleeping and somebody came after he'd fallen asleep and lay next to him, he says, the one who comes last is chayev. Im hizik larishan, if he did damage to the person who's already asleep, the marishan hizikoi potter, he's potter. Why? Says the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber. V'cheini miniach kelev b'tzad hayoshein. Similarly, if he puts his utensils, his delicate items down next to someone who's sleeping, v'nishapi chaleim b'shobron potter. Shezeh shinichim b'tzidoi p'sheahu b'meh shinichon b'tzidoi. So the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like in the book of Yosef, because he says the reason why he's chayev, why the person who's sleeping is potter, is because the one who put them there is the p'shea. He's the mazik. What does the Ramah say? Well, who's the Ramah paskening like? Like Tosfos. He's paskening like Tosfos. The trouble is that there seems to be a stira in Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Ayin Ches, Shulchan Aruch says, Osa lahazik momen chaveiroi, vim yizikoi, afa pi she'enu ne'ne, chayev l'shalim, nezik shalim, and there are no exceptions to the rule. That's okay. But we would say, who is that? Noki Yosef. It's the Shulchan Aruch in the clear. But along comes the Ramah and says, the daf kesheinu oynis gomel, kemoishis fire. So far, so good. The Ramah is passing like Tosfos. The Shach says, by the way, on this, the Shach says, haloshen megumgum in the Ramah, it sounds as if the Ramah is qualifying the Mechaber as saying, so the Shach warns you, no, there's a machlokas here. The Ramah didn't come along to assist the Mechaber. The Ramah came to write his pirush on the already existent Shulchan Aruch, and he was interested in us learning Shulchan Aruch the way the Ramah paskens. So he hijacked, so to speak, in inverted commas, the Shulchan Aruch, and just wrote the Dafka, explained it differently. Says the Shach, I'm going to warn you that there are two opinions here. The Ramah says the Yesh Eimrim. The trouble is there's another case in the Gemara. Gemara Daf Lamed. The Gemara says the following. Hamatzniach Koitzesov. Somebody who tucks away his sharp thorns, the Zchuch Yosov, shards of glass, the Seuch Koisel Shel Chaveiroi, and he puts them into somebody else's wall. Uvo bala koisel, and the owner of the wall comes unsuspectingly, v'sosa koisloi, and he demolishes his wall. Says the Gemara, v'nofalusha sarabim, the bits of the wall fall into the Lusha sarabim, and the shards of glass, and the sharp thorns, hiziku, they did damage. Says the Gemara, chayev hamatznia, the one who put the shards into the wall, he is chayev. Om Rabbi Yochanan, lo yishonu ela b'koisel ru'ua, that's only true if it was a wall that was falling down anyway. And therefore, the one who put the shards inside should have thought this wall is going to be demolished sooner rather than later. And therefore, he's chayv. But b'koisel bori, hamatznia potter, the person who put it in is potter. because the person who demolished his wall should have been careful and made sure that the contents of his wall are safe to be to fall into the Rishus HaRabim. Says Shulchan Aruch on this, exactly that. Hamatznia koitzo b'schuch yoiso b'sech koisloi shul chaveiroi ubor bala koisel v'sosa koisloi v'nof lushus harabim v'hizik im koisel v'ohu if it's in a wall. That is, falling down anyway, chayev, then the person who put the shards of glass is chayev. V'im koisel boriyu, but if it's a strong wall, bala koisel chayev. Good. Does this sound right? Who is that? Why is he high? Why is he potter? If the wall is about to fall anyway, why is the person who demolishes his wall potter? Wasn't it the damage? Well, didn't he cause the damage? He demolished the wall. Didn't he do the damage?
Should have watched out. The Bala Zechufis should have watched out. Should have expected, anticipated the fall.
Right. So why is he potter? Why is the Bala Koisel Chayev? Why is the Bala Koisel Chayev? Sorry? It's known as Gomel. So why? But according to, again, must be like the book Yosef. Sefer Yischayev. Says the Ramah, Ve'im hiziku b'shas mefilo. If the damage was actually done when the wall fell, as it fell, not afterwards, but actually as it fell, Yeshomrim debal hakoisel chayev. Some say that the Bala Koisel is chayev, b'chol inyan, even though it's an onus gomor. But didn't the Ramah just say before that if it's an onus gomor, you're going to be potter, like Tosfos? Why is the Ramah saying it's chayiv? Says the Sma, here, on the spot, the chivin de sosri biodayim, because since he was the one who actually demolished the wall, not that the wall fell, havale ka'odom hanotos chuchisoi shel chaveroids, if I take your glass, umazik boy, and I do damage, it doesn't make a difference who the glass belongs to. It's by koyach, it's odom amazik, I did it. And the question is over here, the Ramah is now paskening like the Nebuchi Yosef. Odom amazik. It's an onus gomor. How am I supposed to know? It's my kosel ru'a. How am I supposed to know that you came in the night and put your shards into my wall? So why is the Nebuchi Yosef saying, if it happens b'shas b'fila, I'm chayev? Because he's passing that the Nebuchi Yosef. Odom amazik. If it's memonish lehizik, it's not my momen after it falls. But as it's falling, I'm going to be chayev. The Be'ah Gola asks as a steerer here between the Ramah in one place and the Ramah in the other. He comes up with an amazing chiluk, and he says, "But if I go to sleep, and somebody puts a rock on my chest, and I get up not knowing the rock's there, and the rock does damage, the only reason why I'm chayev." That's an explicit Gemara, that I'm chayev. The only reason why I'm chayev is because we don't know who the person who put the rock is. And the chiddush is that if we can't find him, then I, Lemaisa, did the damage. Ultimately, I did the damage. But if we know who he is, we're going to go to him first. So the Be'agolo, yes, the Zeta of the Vilna Gaon. So he says that therefore he's going to be chayev. In this way, he reconciles the two Ramahs. Where you have a situation where you know who it is who put the stone there, where you know who it is who put the shards in the wall, in that case, so therefore he says, you're going to say that in the case, the reason why he's going to be chayiv is because if you don't know who it is who's the owner of the stone, so then I did it. But if we know who it is who put the stone there, then, says the Be'ah Gola, it's going to be the one who owns the stone who's going to be chayev. If so, it transpires in our case, it'll transpire according to the Shulchan Aruch, it'll transpire that clearly we paskin like the Nebuchi Yosef. That's how he paskins. By the way, the Rambam paskins like the Nebuchi Yosef as well. There are no exceptions. Odom wood loylon. So therefore, you, the driver, are going to be chayev for what the other person did, because all they did was they didn't tie it down. But you are the one who drove the car, so not mitzad eish, but you're going to be chayev initially because it's your koyach. You're the one who flung this suitcase into motion by driving the car, and therefore you're going to be chayev. According to the Ramah, however, who passes like Tosfos, who says there's a heter of onus gomor, the heter of onus gomor is only going to be in the case where you don't know who the stone is. But in the case where the owner of the stone, where you know who the stone is, so then there will be a chiyuv. So therefore, the question is how to reconcile the Ramah, the Be'er Gola's suggestion, but it will depend on how we're going to reconcile the two Ramahs, one with the other. Actually, how are we going to paskin over here? Who's going to be chayev, the owner of the suitcase, or the one who, or the person who drove? So this is a situation where I hope it'll never be lemaisa, but if it ever should happen lemaisa, a case like this, there's a serious discussion over here between the Rishonim and in Shulchan Aruch, in the poskim, and again in the later poskim, exactly how are we going to paskin between the machlokes Tosfos and the Bki Yosef, whether there are any exceptions, the onus gomor is a p'tur, whether onus gomor is not a p'tur. I'll just finish off with just a little something on Chanukah, and just a little idea, and that's the following. A father says to his son, as they're sitting round the Neiros, he says, Moshe, tell me, what are we celebrating tonight? So his son, this little Moshe, is quite a sharp cookie. He looks at his daddy, and he says, I know, he says, that both you and my Rebbe want me to say that we're celebrating the Nes of the Shemen, and we're celebrating the Milchoma, but I know the truth. We're celebrating the return of the donuts and the latkes. Father looks at him, he says, look, he says, quite simple, he says, it's now already the seventh night of Hanukkah, he says. Every time you light the Neiros, out come the donuts and the latkes and it's donuts and you're eating and everybody's happy and that's it. And everyone goes away. So we're celebrating the return. As soon, I know, on the ninth night, there'll be no donuts and there'll be no Neiros. So therefore, it's the return of the donuts. Simple. And this is what the child walks away with. The truth of the matter is that, as I'm sure you've heard, but I want to take briefly one little idea, and that is that what we've got to take from Hanukkah undoubtedly is the preparedness that we've got to build up within ourselves to be Moisa Nefesh, whether it is to defend HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honour, whether it is to do the mitzvahs with Mesiris Nefesh, where it's called upon us to do so, Mila Shem Elai, as you just heard in the last shir. But during times of tranquility, which Baruch Hashem we enjoy at the moment, and long may they continue, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu to continue to be praised, Sukkas Shloime Oleinu, in times of tranquility, there's also Mesiris Nefesh. Where's the Mesiris Nefesh nowadays? You're sitting in a room, and there's a conversation going on. And suddenly mentions somebody, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what happened? And you say, oh, wow, here we go. This is one large Lashon Hara on its way. You feel uncomfortable. Everyone's perking up their ears, yeah? And you're sitting there, and you have to get up and you have to say, please, I know you don't mean any harm, but I think this is, in fact, I know, this is Lashon Hara. You've got to stop this. I can't remain here. Please stop. And if they look at you and they say, come on, off it, come on. Don't be such a frumky bumky. You've got to be able prepared, says the Chofetz Chaim. Say, goodbye. I'm going. I'm not staying here. In the nicest possible way, with a smile. In the nicest possible way. You don't have to be rude, but you have to get up and you've got to do it. They're caste situations, or everyone's sitting around the table and eating donuts and latkes, and you know you've got a shir. And the family is saying, come on, we never get together, this is the only occasion. You've got to say, I'm terribly sorry, but Eilu Devarim Sheshlem Shir. I'm going, I've got to go to a shir. Whatever it may be, you're there, you've got a daven mincha in the park, and there are people around, it's uncomfortable, find yourself a corner and you daven. Or leave the park and get to shul even better. There's situations in life where, although Baruch Hashem we live in circles where we keep Torah mitzvahs, everyone around us is keeping Torah mitzvahs in our immediate circles. We go to the shop and there's kosher food available more than we want, but a selection more than we can possibly imagine. How we pay for it is another question. But the situation is that there is, it exists. But the nonetheless, the avodah that Chanukah teaches us is that our avodah as a Jew, our avodah as Yidden, is that we've got to continue moving upwards. And we've got to be able, within our social circle, within the social membrane, to think for ourselves and to keep polishing and improving ourselves and possibly do things a little better than they're done around us without feeling smug or conceited. But nonetheless, we've got to be prepared to go against the current, to go against the stream, to go against what other people are doing. Not that they mean any harm, but maybe because they're not enthused about this particular concept, this particular din that you are. And we've got to be prepared to do that. That's Mesiras Nefesh. And that's Mesiras Nefesh that happens all the time. The nes of the Pach Shemen, with this I'll finish, the nes of the Pach HaShemen didn't require Mesiras Nefesh in the same way as the Milchoma required them to put their life on the line. The nes of the Pach HaShemen showed, do we really prepare to make that effort to do Hashem's mitzvahs in the best possible way? And that's why we celebrate not the Milchoma, we celebrate the nes of the Pach HaShemen, to remind us that in every situation, year in, year out, every single one of us, we have the situations where HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires our Mesiras Nefesh. And when we're Mesiras Nefesh, to do the mitzvahs a little better, to stand out against the crowd, to stand out and to do what's right because Hashem said so, not because it's necessarily popular. When that's the lesson, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send the same Nisim Menifloes, the same Siyata Dishmaya, the same Lamala Miderech HaTeva, as He sent us in the days by Yom Mohaim, that we will also be Zeicher Bizman Hazeh.